Go back into the book of Hebrews because I'm loving it. I'm loving the book of Hebrews. We are thankful to be back from holidays, but mind you, we had the most beautiful weather on holidays. Did you see Linda and I kayaking on crystal clear water in the mornings? And it was so beautiful. And we just had a really great time, but also full of adventure. How many of you have ever been to Talon Chutes to see what that is? You know, that is like incredible. Isn't that the most beautiful place? And, you know, so we went down and there you can, I didn't know if you knew this, but you can pick things that were like hundreds of years old. What are they, like the little bearings from their guns and all sorts of things. And so, yeah. And so we had someone who showed us around. And so obviously from this morning and from what I've seen this morning, I had a question, but how many of you enjoy praise and worship and focusing your thoughts on the Lord? You know, obviously by your response this morning to worship and everything, that's a redundant question because you've already shown me this morning. And I think that most Christians would agree with that. Like, God is awesome. And so the more you get to know Him, the more you can appreciate what He has done for us and what He does for us daily, doesn't He? He does things for us daily. Sometimes we don't always feel it, but He does things for us daily because you know what happens is sometimes, there's a circumstance that comes up and all of a sudden it's a heavy circumstance, but there's a peace within you on how you approach it. And that's God. Only God could do that. You know, like people have been dependent upon me. Maybe they've been dependent upon you to look for the answers. Well, you know what? We don't really have the answers, but He has the answers. Amen? And so we may feel powerless, and God can help us. Amen? His strength can overcome the despair or any pain or any trial. He is always there. When we pray, He will deliver. He will protect. He will sustain us. Amen? Because God forgives us. Do you know that? He forgives us. So we can pray to God honestly and directly. Okay? We can pray to God honestly and directly because He is awesome. And I'm telling you this morning, He wants the very best for you. Okay? He wants the very best for each and every one of you. He really, really does. That's our God. It's interesting. If there's going to be a day when one of your board members pops by your house to ask you a question, it was yesterday because John popped by the house and right in the midst of him popping, knocking on the door, it was the middle of the afternoon, and man, I was in the Word. So he walks in, I had a few Bibles out, and I was just praying. What a good time. But you know what? This is what the Lord showed me yesterday. This part of my devotion is not part of the message, but I came to Psalm 15. You know, how many of you know that, I'm a gadget guy and everything, but how many of you know sometimes you just need to sit there with your Bible on your lap and just let it, you know, and no other distractions and just let the Word get into your heart, okay? You don't. We approach God, we think that we have to do all sorts of funny things and everything. I mean, just sit down with no preconceived ideas, no agenda, and just say, "Hi, God, I'm here. What's up?" And so, how many of you, from time to time, grumble? How many of you grumble, honestly? Okay, how many of you have slandered someone when you have been defending yourself or your own character? Okay, how many? So I came across this verse here yesterday, and oh my goodness, did the Lord ever get a hold of my heart? And so I came this morning. That's why what happened at the end of worship was, it was just like, I'm so free. Because this is probably something that I was dealing with that you don't know. So Psalm 15, it says, "Lord, who may dwell in your sacred tent? Who may live in on your holy mountain? Those who walk is blameless. who does what is righteous, who speaks the truth from the heart, whose tongue utters no slander, who does no wrong to his neighbor. And I thought, so I closed my eyes and I prayed and I said, Holy Spirit, do I slander? Do I do that? And you know what? I do from time. If I take my eyes off of my relationship with the Lord, it's easy to measure you by a worldly standard. But when I have my eyes on the Lord, I measure you by a heavenly standard. And what I see in a heavenly standard is probably what you want to hear more than what we all see in each other in an earthly standard. Amen? And so that was just a really, really interesting place. So get into the Word. Let it open up. Let the Spirit of God speak to you. So, you know, how many of you know that there's benefits that come from real relationships and friendships with each other? Are there benefits that come from real relationships with each other? You know, there's trust. There's forgiveness, there's understanding, there's acceptance, there's encouragement, and so much more when we have real relationships with each other, honest relationships with each other. All of those things come into play. Well, if those are some of the benefits from earthly relationships, then how much more through Jesus Christ and through the Holy Spirit are the benefits that come from having a relationship, a real relationship with a holy God? What are the benefits that come from that? Holy benefits that come from that, you know? And this is why the writer of the Hebrews wants you to fully understand that Jesus is the perfect sacrifice for sins. He's the perfect sacrifice for sins because each and every one of us in this room are capable of sinning. Each and every one of us are capable of sinning, and he is the perfect sacrifice for sin, as Linda already read the scripture. So let me allow you to share a little bit of a story here. It was such a great day. So great that I would like to do it over and over and over again. As I looked at our photographs of our wedding recently, all our friends and our relatives were there. It was a cold winter day. The music was magnificent, the reception was amazing, the dinner was wonderful, the speeches were good, even my father-in-law said nice things about me, and everything was perfect. The sort of day that comes to most of us maybe once in a lifetime, if that. Amen? And that, of course, is the point. You don't get married every year, every month, every week. You don't get married again and again and again to the same person. To repeat that would show that we hadn't really understood what was taking place. And this is what Hebrews is insisting. The death of Jesus Christ happened once, and it's not going to happen again, and it's not to be repeated again. It happened once. And this is one of the great passages of Scripture because it has bottomless reservoir of meaning in it. It presents Jesus Christ as the perfect sacrifice for sins. And when we get that, and when we understand that, and when we walk in that, extraordinary things happen. Extraordinary things happen. The mundane is gone. Extraordinary things happen. I'm not saying the weird things. I'm saying extraordinary things happen. The one thing that we must face is this. We can be sinful. We can be sinful. And we could be imperfect. Amen? We can be sinful. This preacher can be sinful. And so can you. We could be sinful. We can. Therefore, we need to have our sins cleansed and we need to have our sins taken away. Can you say amen to that? Amen? It's true. So in order for us to stand before a holy God and a perfect God, we must somehow be cleansed of sin and imperfection and be counted perfect before a holy God. Somehow that has to happen. Amen? And perfect by my standards, okay, or by his standards. So my standards are, well, you know what? I'm okay. You know, it's not such a big deal. I'm okay. You know what? It's only a little white lie. You know what? You know, God's not going to punish me for this cuss word, you know, and it's just like, so we measure by our standards, and we try to justify our actions by our standards, don't we? But by His standards, certain things have to line up for us to be in His presence, right? And by our standards, I don't know if we're ushered into His presence, but when we start to understand His standards and we get ushered into His presence, what a glorious place that will be. What a glorious and holy place that is. And when you get a taste of that, when you understand it, when you get a taste of it, so it's not just about, honey, are we going to go to church today? Are we going to do the right thing? Are we going to do this? It's not about doing, it's about being. And when you get into the presence of God, you become being, you're being. You're in the presence of God. Amen? So how is this possible, all this that I'm talking about this morning? Well, it's possible by Jesus Christ. By Jesus Christ and only Jesus Christ then. Amen? Only Jesus Christ. Only Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the perfect sacrifice for sins. And to introduce this, the writer explains that the heavenly sanctuary, like the earthly sanctuary, needs purifying. That's what the scripture says. It says that the heavenly sanctuary, like the earthly sanctuary, needs purifying. This rattles my brain. What do you mean that there's something wrong in heaven that it needs purifying? That's what the scripture says. It says that the heavenly sanctuary and the earthly sanctuary, they both need purifying. Now, I could get it where the earthly sanctuary needs purifying, but the heavenly sanctuary needs purifying. Jesus Christ purifies everything, even the very things of heaven. He provides a redemption plan for us. In verse 23, it says this. It's one of the most startling verses in all of Scripture. It says, He teaches that Christ's sacrifice cleansed heaven itself. Why? Doesn't that seem puzzling to you? Why does heaven need to be purified anyways? You know? Well, it's not because there's anything in heaven that is sinful and unclean. Heaven is heaven, and it's perfect, and it's eternal. It's because the way into heaven must be covered and shielded with the blood of Jesus Christ to cover people as we approach God. So even when Jesus goes into the throne room, into the sanctuary of heaven, the blood of Jesus Christ covers us so that we can go into the presence of God. And oh my goodness, when I understand this and I start to, oh my goodness. So right into the throne room, with the Father in the heavenlies, the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, the blood of Jesus Christ has to cover us, because if there isn't any covering, if there's no covering here, if there's no covering there, we are not righteous before the Father. Can you see how significant the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is? Because without the blood of Jesus Christ, there is no relationship with God the Father. We can't go. We would be killed. We have to be covered with the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ, even as He enters and stands in heaven. When He stands before the Father in heaven, the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ covers us, so that when He pleads and He intercedes for us before the Father looks beyond Him over His shoulder, and He sees you as righteous. Oh my goodness, do you always feel like you're righteous? But because of God the Father, not because of you, but because of Him, He sees you as righteous. Do you deserve that righteousness? You know how evil your heart could be. You know how deceptive you can be. Do you know how many of you lied this week about something? Whether it's a big lie or a little lie or something. You lied. You lied. Okay? Everywhere we stand and everything we touch, no matter where it is in heaven and earth, has to be covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. It is covered in order to protect us. Amen? To protect us. You know, our only acceptance before God is the sacrificial blood of Jesus Christ. And now we could be accepted without, you know, with that covering over us. And this is critical. This is critical. This is the gospel. This is critical. You know what? There are people who, well, maybe I'll go to church. Maybe I'm giving it to you this morning. This is critical. Okay, this is critical for our salvation moving forward. This is critical because when we measure things on his standard, lives are going to be changed. People are going to walk into your house, into your office, and they're going to see the presence of God in your life, and their lives are going to be transformed because you have been in the throne room of Jesus Christ, because you are understand that you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. Amen? And you are holy before him. And I'm telling you, when that happens, extraordinary things take place. For those of you who are here for the very first time, I'm generally a quieter preacher. I am, but I'm pumped today. Okay, we're talking about Jesus Christ, okay? When I was on holidays and I was sitting there, okay, and I was sitting and I was thinking about the day that Linda and I, we got saved together, and then we're sitting there and we're thinking like, wow, man, like we've been pastoring all these years together. We get to hang out together. We're sitting around campfires together. We're discussing scriptures together, and Jesus Christ saved us. He saved us. You know, I found out something. Linda's mother's name was Selena, and so we were looking at my family tree over the holidays, and my grandmother's name was Selena as well. And there's so many things that line up. We're both from Montreal. Linda's mother and my mother were best friends, but they never knew each other. Okay, my mother didn't know Linda's mother, this is how it happened. I had an Auntie Violet. Okay, and my mother was best friends with Auntie Violet, and Linda had an Auntie Violet, and her mother was best friends with Auntie Violet. But I lived would be like from Oshawa to Mississauga. That's how far Linda and I lived apart from each other. We didn't know each other. So when we met in Toronto, we were driving down the road, and I'm talking about my Auntie Violet, and Linda says, I have an Auntie Violet too. Bam, same Auntie Violet. Figure it out. Okay, there's a Selena here and a Selena there. I am thankful for Jesus Christ. Because if it wasn't for Jesus Christ, we wouldn't even have the opportunity to sit and connect the dots, okay? And if you connect the dots, it's like, God, you know, your hand was always there. Your hand is always there. You're a God of miracles. You know what I mean? Okay? And, you know, you meet people. So, you know, all I know is that I seek to understand more of him. God the Father would never allow any other way to get to him without Jesus Christ, the ultimate price. Jesus Christ purified everything. He is the perfect sacrifice for sins. 1 John says, if we walk in the light and he is the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, purifies us from all sin. I got to tell you something, okay? If you get this at a deeper level than going to Gateway Pentecostal Church on a Sunday, part of the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, and it was a nice service, it was good worship, the pastor's a little bit passionate, you know, and stuff like this, and a really friendly place and all this, but if you get that, okay, if you walk in that, if you get that, that you are covered by the blood of Jesus Christ right into the sanctuary of God the Father, and if we go out two by two together, and we know that, and we walk in that, extraordinary things are going to happen. Amen. We look at our city, we read the newspaper, we're saying, oh Lord, what's going to happen? Where are the police? Where is this? Where is this? Where are we? Okay, we need to get into the sanctuary of God the Most High because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and we're going to see transformation of lives. One by one by one. So let's stop praying that there's going to be this mass revival. Let's go one by one by one because of he who is in us. Because I can't talk to 1,000 people, but I can talk to one person, or I can talk to you, or I can talk to you. Amen? And we will see revival in our country. I promise you, we will see. We will see it like Brazil saw it. We will see it like Colombia saw it. Okay? It must grieve your heart when you come to a country like this, and we just turn our face towards God. How do we do this? How can we even do that in our midst? How could we ignore someone who is so awesome, someone who is so beautiful, someone who is so incredible? How can we just kind of show up and say, okay, God, I'm going to spend 5 minutes with you. He is so awesome. He is incredible. Miracles will happen through your life. I promise you that. Okay? And by your standard, what's a miracle? It doesn't matter what you think what the miracle is, because when you're in His glory, you'll see miracles all around you. Say, "Ooh!" Do that with me. Woo! Okay? You'll see miracles all around you. And you'll say, "Oh, by my standard, that wasn't a miracle. But by His standard, it's a miracle. Wow! So I've been walking in these miracles all along and I didn't even know it?" Praise God. Praise God. The high priest had to make a sacrifice every year because he was still sinful. And therefore, the sacrifice wasn't perfect. But with Jesus Christ, the sacrifice is once. Did you know that we die once? Only once? No second chance? Unless you're like Jenny. Jenny was here, eh? She died for 8 minutes. Well, remember? That's true, eh? She died. She was dead for 8 minutes, and she came back to life. But I don't know anyone who's been there. If that's you, powerful. But we die once. Okay, no second chance. And, you know, we're given and we're saved, we're redeemed. And Jesus made a promise to us. And He did not die in some other world. He died upon this earth for us. And Hebrews 9 and 27 makes it very clear, just as people are destined to die once and after face judgment. Once we die, we are judged. People don't want to talk about this stuff, especially in a church when everything these days is like, "Oh, you're all so wonderful. God just loves you so much," and everything. The bottom line is, folks, is that when we die, we are judged and cut off from God forever and never to enter His presence. Some shall be forbidden to enter heaven and cast into a place that's the very opposite of heaven, called hell itself. Wow, just silence now all of a sudden. Matthew's gospel says that when the Son of Man comes in His glory and all the angels with Him, He will sit on His glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before Him, and He will separate the people one from another as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. But the glorious news is this, that Christ was once offered to bear the sins and judgment of many. And Christ has taken our sins upon Him. He has sacrificed Himself for our sins and borne our judgment for us. Amen? He has done that. We no longer have to bear the judgment of our sins and imperfections. Oh my goodness, we don't like to talk about hell. I'm just telling you, man, when you think about it, I don't want to go there. And by the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, I'm going to be in glory with the Father in heaven. Amen? Amen. And that God counts us as free from sin. A person has to believe. A person has to believe and trust in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. And when we believe, when we really believe that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ works for us, His sacrifice covers our sin, we will be acceptable to the Father. What an astonishing promise. Amen? What a spectacular sight it will be. This is what the Scripture says. The bodies of dead believers who died looking for His return shall be resurrected to meet Him in the sky. The persons who are living and looking for Him shall be lifted up off the earth and ascend to join Him in the sky. Only the blood of Jesus Christ shed on the cross for us was enough to pay this type of penalty. The author of Hebrews was writing to people who were tempted to turn away from their faith. That's what it's all about. Some people were tempted. Maybe you're here this morning and you're tempted to turn away from your faith. Maybe your faith is just dull. Maybe it's not. Maybe you're not even. You don't even get pumped like I was talking about the blood of Jesus this morning. Well, the author of Hebrews was writing people who were tempted to turn away from their former Jewish religion. And he was hammering home the virtual truth of the superiority of this all-sufficiency of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrificial death on the cross, to turn, my friends, to anything other than Christ for salvation is spiritually fatal. It's fatal. It's totally fatal. The Bible holds some sobering thoughts that no one can dispute. Amen? Do you know what? I'm going to close with this. And we're going to go and have some, it's not lunch, it's just kind of meet and mingle. So, you know, but anyways, God's good. Nat's not here, right? Thriving Christians, right? Thriving Christians and thriving churches have an energy about them where people come expecting to draw near to God. Okay? Thriving churches. I didn't say full churches. You could have full churches that are not thriving. Okay? This morning I sensed a thriving. I was very thankful for that. Coming back from holidays, you know, you don't know what to expect. You pray for people. You know people's situation. You hope that they're, you know, you hope there's no casualties of someone who's walked away from the Lord. Okay? But thriving Christians, thriving churches, they have an energy about them where people come expecting to draw close to the Lord. They expect to feel his presence. When you come into this house, do you expect to feel his presence? When you are at home and you look at your scriptures, are you expecting to sense his presence? Amen? And experience his love. Hear his voice. It is a thing of beauty. It is a thing of beauty for a preacher like this to see a congregation thriving for his presence. Talk about happy. I wanted to do a happy dance this morning, man, like here. You know, I'm going to do a happy dance right now. You guys were thriving for his presence. And that's exciting. And that's exciting. And you should get excited about when you look across the room and you see other people thriving for his presence. That's what it's all about. How I pray for each of you. And I pray for each of you to be thriving Christians. Okay, I pray. You know I pray. Okay? How many of you have been through a war zone and since you've come to this church in your life, and you know that we have prayed for you and we've prayed all the time through you? How many of you know that? Okay? We thrive in prayer for you guys. And I want this church to be a thriving church. I want this church to be a thriving church where his presence, when Holy Spirit steps into your moment, okay, when Holy Spirit steps into your moment, your life, your relationships, things become extraordinary. Do you know when I find Christianity boring? How many of you honestly have you found Christianity boring at times? Okay, yeah, be honest. So do I. You know? Church is just boring. Oh, same thing again, you know? Oh, brother. How many of your husbands here you've been dragged to church, kicking and screaming, okay? How many wives here, you've been dragged to church, kicking and screaming? Oh, do we have to go again and get a hug from that preacher again? Every Sunday he has to hug me and when I'm not communicating with God, things are boring, right? When I'm not communicating with God, things are boring. Oh, John, when I was so happy you came by to my house yesterday. You know why? Because if there was a Sunday to come, you know, like you're the pastor of the church and one of your board members knocks on the door to ask you a question and walks in, and you're like in the presence of God. No one else is home except me. Like it was just like, yeah, thank you, Lord, for that, you know? Because don't you want others to see you in the presence of God? Okay? Like I know the Lord is all over you over there this morning, okay? Like both of you, okay? I could see it. It's all over you. You know how happy that makes me feel? Okay? Doesn't it make you feel good? Like you see people, like how many of you were touched when little Isabel started to sing here this morning in the song? Okay? Like, does that touch your heart? Okay? When you see someone in the presence of God, doesn't it do something for you? Like, doesn't it just, it makes you, well, I want people to see the present, me in the presence of God as well. I want to project the presence of God in people's lives, don't you? Do you know when marriages and friendships and experience deep stress points and disappointment? When there's a lack of communication? You know, I must listen to God. When I experience that in my marriage, I must listen to God. And I must listen to Linda. And I mean really listen. You know, like how many of you sometimes, are you listening to me? Yeah, I'm listening to you, but you're not really listening. And I need to listen to my wife, and I need to listen to my friends, and I need to listen to God. There needs to be a communication at this level here so that we will have the social skills and understanding so that we can have a communication with Heavenly Father. Do you know this morning, I'm going to close with this, but did you know that God has a perfect plan for you? Okay. How many of you are sitting here and you say, man, I'm so lost. I don't even know what you're talking about, brother, this morning. And you're sitting here and you're trying to make me feel good. And you're telling me all of these things. But how many of you know that God has a perfect plan for you this morning? Okay. He has a perfect plan for you this morning. Okay. The Spirit does. You know, He always acts on your behalf according to the will of the Father. That's why in Pentecostal circles we put such an emphasis on the Holy Spirit. Baptism of the Holy Spirit, you know, and we're all, you know, it's not because we're weird, we're all tongue speakers. It's because we're in a relationship with the Holy Spirit because we want the perfect will of the Father to manifest in our lives so the extraordinary will happen. Because other than that, church is boring. We do the same thing over and over and over again, whether it's a woman's meeting, a men's meeting. We open up, we sing a few songs, someone prays, someone speaks, then we eat. Okay? And we've been using the same format over and over and over and over again, and we're just like zombies. Good morning, Brother John. Good morning, Sister Pauline. There has to be more than that, and it takes place when we understand, when we go in to the sanctuary covered by the sacrificed blood of Jesus Christ, that we are in the holy zone. Okay? And so as you grow in your relationship with our Redeemer, we develop a desire to live life by His standards. I said standards. I did not say rules. The last thing I need is more rules. Okay? But I need to live by a standard that is high. So God is good. Amen? So why don't we stand for a minute. I'm going to close in prayer.